All right, ACBT. So you're going to use the active cycle of breathing technique a lot in respiratory care. So we'll just go through a quick overview of it. It's going to help expectorate sputum for patients. The whole idea is it moves secretions peripherally to centrally, so it's easier to clear. It's therefore going to improve lung function by removing those extra secretions, but it's also going to enhance alveolar ventilation by using collateral ventilation. So that's a good thing because that's going to help with gas exchange for a lot of patients. But it's also, because you're getting rid of those secretions, going to help to reduce recurrent infections. There's three bits of it. You've got breathing control, deep breathing, and huffing performed in a cycle until the chest is clear, effectively. And the aim when you do this is to teach the patient so that they can do it for themselves when you're not at the bedside. So the indications, obviously, sputum retention. It might be acute, like a chest infection, or chronic. For example, patients have produced too much sputum in bronchiectasis or COPD. It's useful in patients who've got decreased cough strength. There's a number of reasons for that, but the commonest you come across is pain, right? Rib fractures, intra-abdominal surgery, for example, they're going to have pain. It's going to hurt to cough. ACBT is a more gentle way of helping to get good alveolar ventilation, which in turn helps other things like improving their lung volume, reducing atelectasis, as well as getting rid of those secretions. So it's really useful for that. It's also used for patients with increased work of breathing, but just note, it's mainly with increased work of breathing about thinking about why they've got it, right? So for example, if their increased work of breathing is because of a pulmonary embolus or because of pulmonary edema from their heart failure, this is not appropriate to provide, and therefore just do think about those sort of conditions. You're really using this in the context of atelectasis, some reduced lung volume and secretions. That's what we're thinking about. Contraindications are pretty straightforward. Unconscious patients and patients who are too confused, delirium or dementia. Just base that on the individual though. You know, some patients have got very mild dementia. They would completely understand all of this. So it's person to person. Also just consider those who are wheezing or have bronchospasm like your asthmatics. Now, it's not that it's sort of really dangerous to use. It's just if somebody's having active wheeze, the treatment really is medical with bronchodilators. Okay, that's really what the treatment is. But indeed, for say a patient who has asthma, but they've got a chest infection, but their wheeze is fairly stable, of course you just crack on with the ACBT. But if they've got particularly fragile asthma, they, you know, notice if they cough a little bit too much, they're going to get quite a big wheeze response. Just be mindful that you might want to drop the forced expiratory technique bit first and check the other areas are safe for them. They can do them sensibly before re-adding that in and making sure it's not worsening their wheeze. If we look at clinical settings, it's performed in outpatients and obviously inpatients too, outpatients like your chronic patients with COPD, bronchiectasis as an example. Acute settings, it's mainly going to be patients who've got chest infections. Now, in the article, we've also got the breathing control, deep breathing, thoracic expansion components, and the forced expiratory technique, or the HUF. We've written some words about that. And then we've got a picture that goes showing you visually the cycle of ACBT. So do go and have a look at those bits. If you go to the bottom, there's also a video which shows you ACBT in real time, which is useful to see if you wanted to. When we think about the frequency of doing this, there's a little bit of variance around what's said. Okay, now it can be said that you keep doing it until you've had two ACBT cycles without expectorating, or if they have expectorated the sputum that they feel that, you know, is on their chest, you know, and you've examined them afterwards and their lung sounds clearer. Most people, right, it's kind of around the 10-minute mark is kind of the idea. So you're doing this until they have expectorated the sputum themselves that feels like it's rattling on their chest, or until they've done it for several minutes and they're not getting any further sputum up, right? That's basically the idea of it. And you do it twice a day. Of course, they can do it more if they've got more secretions, and ideally it should be patient-led and they should be doing it themselves. Which brings us to kind of top tips. Check your patient's oxygen sats before doing your treatment. Giving them a leaflet to review after completing the treatment can be quite helpful and allow them to review that when they're going to do it themselves. Make sure you sort of demonstrate this to them as you're going through, and make sure you check their technique for these things, because, you know, like lots of things you'll see in clinical practice, patients might say they understand it, but then when you get them to demonstrate it to you, they're probably showing you something quite different. That's very common. You'll see that a lot in MSK as well. Indeed, good positioning of your patients is really important. Upright sitting is really common, but don't forget you can combine it with other things like postural drainage, VQ matching, etc. So side lying, etc. It can be really useful. And as a final point, which is kind of obvious stuff, just let them wait 15, 20 minutes after having a meal, because if they start doing lots of stuff, they sort of do this as a routine straight after they've eaten and drank, it could, you know, cause them to have some mild nausea or even vomit. It's very unlikely, but indeed, it's just something sensible to tell them. Just don't do it immediately after eating. Just do it before you eat, for example, if you want to do it around meal times for memory purposes. There's some good stuff at the bottom that link to if you want to learn a little bit more. Got various videos. I've also got another article about how you really complete the ACBT cycle with your patients, which is really useful to look at. And then there's loads of on-demand tutorials that we've got as well. So please go and have a look at all of those. But indeed, that is ACBT.